Morning, church.
So I've actually got the sermon today. I'm kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "And I, brothers and sisters, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to consume it. But even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like ordinary people?"
Good morning. I'd let Brody do it anytime. I'd let Brody come on up here anytime. Well, it's good to see you, Winfred. Good to see you back. You've been a little under the weather, haven't you? And where's that wife of yours? Is she still laid up? He's still laid up at home? And the reason why Winfred was under the weather was because his wife is laid up at home. I understand that. Been there, done there. Okay, I understand that. Good to see Kim. Glad you're here. How's your mama's? She doing okay? Yeah, she's fine? She's fine. Okay. Well, I'm just going to say Linda's all right then. Okay, well, good deal. Got a couple of quick announcements, real quick announcements. First off, great job, third place in the state. How wonderful is that? Yeah, the only time I was third place was when there were only three in the race. Yeah, good job, wonderful. Hall of Fame? Man, that's tremendous. The only Wall of Fame that I'm on is the wall at the post office, you know, when they got their picture up there. That's the only one I got. That's great. That's wonderful. I know how important that is, and I also know how you've affected so many young people along the way as a coach and a teacher. It's just amazing how many people we touch along the way. And I'll tell you this little story. You know, I've told you this story about this young girl that was killed in a car accident that kind of took me in as her adopted father. I was in Charleston yesterday, and I actually went by to see her her gravesite yesterday. And she'd be 40 years old today. And, of course, she was only 19 when she was killed in the car accident, but she'd be 40 years old today. And I tried to process that through my mind. But, what I really processed was the fact that we have so much influence on so many people around us. And we don't realize how much influence we have about people around us. We don't realize it. We do things all the time without thinking about the ramifications of the people that are surrounding us. And so I want to talk about that today. But before I get into that, I want to mention this other thing that I'm really excited about. There's two people here, Dennis and Stacy, the Salisburys. And the way that I remember their last name, Salisbury State. Raise your hand. These two young people right here wish to place membership with this congregation. Yeah. And we're excited that they are with us today. They've got a daughter in Texarkana and a son. And so we are so glad to have y'all with us. Glad that you are part of our congregation here. And elders, I want y'all to get a good picture of them and make sure you find something for them to do. They look like they need to work. So put them to work. Glad you're here with us. We have such a great congregation here. We have such great people here. And I'm so thankful for that. I really, truly am so thankful for every one of you today, every one of you that are here with us, those that are at home that couldn't be with us today, every one of us I'm thankful for each and every day. It's so grand to see you when you come in the door. And those that I haven't seen for a while, and you come in and you just, you lift me up. I want you to know, you lift me up. And so thank you for being here today. I want to talk about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. We've been talking about spirituality the last 3 weeks. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we've been talking about it the last 3 weeks. And Paul, in his writings to the church at Corinth, was talking about those that were still living in the flesh, and he couldn't speak to them about spiritual things because he was still trying to feed them the milk of the flesh, to try to teach them about the lower level things before he could get to the higher level things because they were still living in the flesh. And so I want to talk to you about what that means. And the first thing it means is this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Notice the list up there about living in the flesh. Now I want you to look really good at that. Because what does it say? Sexual immorality, idolaters, adulterers, homosexual, thieves, greedy, habitually drunk, verbal abusers, swindlers. Now, if I was just to throw that out here to y'all today and say that's all it is, I would venture to say that probably about 99% of you out here in this audience today would say, well, that's not me. I don't have to worry about that. Would I be wrong in saying that? Because most people that come to a worship service typically don't fall into those categories. They typically don't. So you can just kind of push those aside and say, you know what? I don't do that, so I don't have to worry about it. This, and they can just turn me off right now, and we can all go home and eat lunch and do whatever you want to do this afternoon. But I'm not going to do that, am I? I'm not going to stop there. Because I want you to realize something, that the church at Corinth had a lot of issues. And I'm just going to bring those up. They had a lot of issues, and they had this in the church of Corinth. But one of the things that Paul brings up here is that this isn't the end of the list. Because he goes on to say right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, that this was also among the church, jealousy and strife among you. Now, the way you act is part about being in the flesh or being in the spirit. We were talking about that in my Bible class this morning, our young adult Bible class, about how to win people over. It's what we've been talking about for about the last 3 weeks. How do we win people over to Christ? And the first thing that you must do in order to win somebody over is to have a relationship with that person. If I just walked out here on the street and I grabbed the first person that went by and said, hi, I want to talk to you about coming to Jesus Christ. What do you think they would do? They would run the other direction. They would push me aside. They'd say, I don't have time to talk to you. And off they go. And then they'd be calling these people downtown to come and get me with the white jacket that ties in the back. And so that would be about the end of it. But you know what? If I'm a friend of yours, if I have a relationship with you, then you know what? I can talk to you about anything. And I mean anything. I can talk to you about what it means to be a Christian. I can talk to you about coming to the salvation which comes through Jesus Christ. I can talk to you about all those things, but first, I must build a relationship. So how do you build one? It's how you act. It's how you act. Kathy was telling me about this man that works down at our county jail down here. And how the prisoners really love him. They enjoy being around him. They enjoy talking to him. And we've got some of our own right here that go to our jail that we minister to down in Hodgins, that they love seeing you come in the door. You know how they love seeing you come in the door? It's the way you treat them. You don't treat them badly. You treat them with respect. And then they treat you with respect back. And then you know what? They want to hear what you have to say. And so the problem that they were having in Corinth was not just the immorality that was occurring, because remember where they were in the Las Vegas of that time, where immorality was just rampant. And they were trying to figure out exactly what they should or should not do. This was brand new to them. So I give them a lot of slack in knowing that Paul was trying to teach them what was right and what was wrong. We know that. So I give them a lot of slack in that. But on the same regard, notice where Paul really doesn't give them much slack. He doesn't give them any slack at all when it comes to the way they're treating each other. Because he says here, there's a lot of jealousy and strife among you, which means to Paul that they were living in the flesh, not in the spirit. Because in the spirit, there's no jealousy or strife among us. We work together with one thing in mind. And that one thing that we have in mind is to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. That's what we have in mind. And that's what we need to focus our attention on always, is to do God's will. Does that make any sense to anybody here? It should, because I want you to understand that that's what sets us apart from everybody else in this world. We don't act like everybody else. We're peculiar. My mama used to say that about me. She said, son, you're a little peculiar. Folks, that's exactly right. We're a little different. Ever heard that, different? That's Arkansas term. We're a little different. We're different than anybody else. You know why? Because we've got God the Father. And so therefore, we should be different. We have a place with Him in heaven. We have been forgiven of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His children. That makes us different. We are not the same. And so therefore, when it comes down to us, we can't act like everybody else. Folks, there's strife going on in this world today. And I'm talking about this world. There's jealousy going on in this world today. I'm not talking about just here in Podo. I'm talking about everywhere in this world. I've seen more division in my lifetime than I ever thought that I would ever see. You know what causes that? Satan causes that. You know why he causes that? He wants to divide and conquer. Therefore, if we're going to grow in the Spirit, we need to grow in the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit is our guide. That we follow the Spirit. He helps us. He intercedes for us. He guides us. He also admonishes us when we do wrong. And we take it joyfully. Because we know where we're headed. We know where we should go. And therefore, we can go deeper into the Word and not just feed on the milk of the Word, because we are spiritual, not fleshly. This is where we should be. This is where we should be. So strive every day to be that. To be more spiritual. I had a person just come up to me just a minute ago. Just before our services began this morning. And say, "Boy, I'd like to see you." Say, "You're happy. You're happy all the time." Well, no, I'm not. But I'm happy some of the time. Yeah. Some of the time I'm not. Bob helped me a whole lot this morning when I got out of the car. And he hollers across the parking lot at me. And he says, "You're probably unhappy this morning." I didn't even know what he was talking about. Yeah. Rendell caught me too, just right after you, Bob. Rendell catches me and says, "Boy, you must be upset this morning." For those of you that don't know, Arkansas got beat by OU yesterday by 3 points. I can't imagine anybody in this audience not knowing that, but other than that. But you know how I told Rendell? I said, "It just tells me one thing, that neither team's any good." Yeah. That's what it tells me. Folks, yeah, I have my ups and downs. But the reason why a lot of you don't ever see me other than just being happy is because I'm so happy to be here with you. And I'm so happy that you're here with me. It's a great place to be. It's the place I want to be. There's nowhere in this world I would rather be than right here with you. So realize what we're talking about. To be spiritual, we need to set aside earthly things. We need to set aside fleshly things. And it's not just sexual immorality. It's not just homosexuality. It's not just all these other things that are listed there. Greediness, all these different things. But realize it's your attitude. It's an attitude. My attitude should be and should always be that of the Spirit, not that of the flesh. So, realize what Paul is saying. Fleshly living is this: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech. That's fleshly living. Now you go back to that relationship that you have with somebody and they're trying to understand why you're a Christian person. They're trying to understand why you do what you do. And if you do any of these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech, they're going to be turned away from it. Because they want to say, "Well, you're not any different than anybody else." Folks, we should be different. And notice these aren't what we would consider to be major sins in our lifetime. But they are major sins when it comes to God. Realize these things can keep people from coming to God. These things right here can keep people from coming to Jesus Christ. And those things right there can do it far greater than anything else that you do in your life. Because people know us by what we do. They know us by how we act. They know us by what we say. And if you act like everybody else in the world, then what's the difference between them and us? We must show a difference. Because we are different. We are different. No more anger, no more wrath, no more malice, no more slander. And keep those bad words hidden. Don't say them. Don't say them. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear one another with love. When Jesus sent out the 72 disciples and apostles to go out and preach the word, they asked Jesus, "How will we know that they are with us?" And he said these words. He said, "You shall know them in that they have love one for another." How do you treat one another? You treat each other in love. You treat each other with respect. Do you treat each other with kindness, gentleness, meekness? These are all fruits of the Spirit, folks. Is that how you do it? Or is it with wrath, anger, malice, slander? Why do these prisoners like to see y'all coming? Because they know that you are treating them with love and respect. And you are teaching them salvation. They know it. And that's why they love to see you come. Realize in Romans 8, 9, we are not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. Set aside in this world fleshly things. Focus your attention on spiritual things. Because, folks, fleshly things do not last. Spiritual things last for an eternity. Focus your attention on that which is eternal, not that which will be done away. This earth will not last. So if we focus on the things of this earth, you're focused on things that will not be here. Focus on that which is eternal. We are not fleshly. We are of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. This is something also that we need to really focus our attention on. Because I know that you are probably just like me, in that you don't think of this enough. Paul tells us that we are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We are the temple of God. Therefore, in all respect, everyone who sees us, everyone who knows us, everyone who meets us on the street should see that temple in us. Everyone should see it. And so, therefore, what we must do is we must, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light what? For we are the salt of the earth. Let your light shine. Let people see God's temple in you. Let that Spirit dwell to where others can see it. And it's how you act is what light they see. That is the Spirit. That is what dwells in us. That is what we must show. Notice the statement that I have up there. The flesh has to die so that the Spirit can live. We talked about sin the other day. I can't remember which class I was talking about it with. But we were talking about being slaves to sin. That was Wednesday night. I had to think. You realize that when you have sin, you are slaves to it. It causes you to do those things. It causes you to think about those things. It causes you to want those things always, always, always. But here's the key. That must die so that we can live. That's what baptism is all about. Baptism is that old person with all those sins dies. And then that old person is buried in that watery grave. And then when they're raised back up, they're raised to walk how? In the newness of life. They are raised up to walk in God's image. They're raised up to walk in the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 tells you all about that, and I would encourage you to study it, because in like manner, Jesus died, took our sins to the grave and was buried, and was resurrected. Right here in our watery baptism, we are resurrected to walk in the newness of life. And we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that when we do this, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. The Spirit dwells in us. And therefore, we are different. We are peculiar. We're not like everybody else. And because of that, we bring others to Christ. Folks, the way to bring people to Christ starts with you. Starts with a change in you. Put away those things of the flesh. Put away those things of the world, because those things will not last. And focus all of your attention on the things which will last for an eternity. Focus your attention on spiritual things. And folks, people will be drawn to God because of you. What a great message this is. Paul was getting on to the church in Corinth because he couldn't speak to them about things that were deeper in the Word. Because he had to keep going back to the things which were the shallow part of the Word. The milk of the Word. We are far beyond that. Because folks, we're going to focus our attention on the things which are spiritual. Not the things which are earthly. So today, what you need to do in your life is put away those earthly things, those physical things, those fleshly things, and focus your attention on the things which will last forever. That is the Spirit of God which dwells in you. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need for baptism, we want to give you the opportunity to come while together we